Scripture reading this morning will be twofold. The first coming from Psalms chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7. 6, 7, and 8. Verses 6, 7, and 8. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. The second scripture will be Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8. This is one of the Beatitudes. It reads, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God."
It is good to be here this morning. It's good that we have visitors. I'll let you know that you are indeed our honored guests. If you are visiting with us for the first time, there's a QR code there on the screen for the lesson notes that will help you in our lesson for this morning. All month we have been talking about wisdom, and it was proper, at least in my mind, to end it with the end in mind. What is the goal for wisdom? When we think about the goal for wisdom, it should be for the purpose of purification, should be for the purpose of purity, holiness. God's wisdom is designed to do just that. It's designed to promote purity in the heart, the conscience, the will, the mind. And ultimately, it is displayed and demonstrated with the body. When we consider one of God's aims, it is for simple sanctification, simple cleanliness. And when we think about the wisdom from above, when it is properly interpreted, properly read and understood, properly exercised in the life of any individual, especially the child of God, it will be demonstrated, of course, in the life, and that life will look like the life of Christ. Wisdom does promote purity, but how? It promotes it through the Word of God, through fellowship. And for this reason, we have the means and the responsibility to help one another to be pure, to help one another examine one's self. And so when we keep these things in mind, I hope that the passages that was read in our hearing will give us a little bit of insight to where we want to go. For this reason, let us read Psalm 12 one more time, verses 6 through verse number 8. The words of Jehovah are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. As we ponder this, as we think about this, we consider God's wisdom, number one, promotes purity. It promotes cleanliness. It promotes holiness. Question, are you clean? If the Word of God promotes purity, holiness, in our words, language, cleanliness, are we clean? Not talking about from some substance abuse. I'm not talking about from some alcohol or whatsoever, even though that is the end goal. But are we spending time in the Word of God that it may refine us, that it may separate the dross, that it may help us to be clean? God's commandments are pure, meaning that they're clean. When we consider the Word of God and the purity of God's Word, and we think about what it does to the conscience, the will, the mind, friends, it actually cleans us up. God's wisdom actually cleans us up. In Psalm 119, verse 140, there the psalmist says, your word is very pure. Literally, it means that it is proven true. God's word is definitely proven true when it is properly read, interpreted, understood, yea, exercised. And so when we consider this, it makes sense why people stay away from the Word of God. God's Word is designed to shield for those who trust in Him. His Word is designed to give us that which is definite, that which is certain. We live in a world now where people, they operate in the gray. Well, that's a gray area. Well, God Himself is pure. He's clean. He's proven true. His word, the same. Friends, don't operate in the gray. Operate in that which you know is right. And when we operate in that which we know is right, then it actually gives us insight on the gray. It gives us insight on that which we are not too sure about. So His word, it purifies the heart. If you look at letter B, His word purifies the heart of man through what? Total submission. Through treasuring it up as the psalmist did. Through total transformation because of God's word. And the end result, look at 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. This is the end result. As Jesus totally submitted His will to His Father, and how we have the responsibility of totally submitting our will to the one in whom He left in charge, Jesus the Christ. Friends, there is a result there. There is an end goal there. And so in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5, there the Bible demonstrates now the end of the commandment. The New King James renders the purpose of the commandment is love. Out of a what? Pure heart. From a good conscience and from sincere faith. Friends, that's what God wants. God wants us to have an end goal in mind because He has one. His end goal is purity, holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 14. And you'll hear that multiple times this morning. His word has a future existence. I'll be totally honest with you. This is my favorite point out of all. We have something to look forward to. Look at Matthew 5, verse 8. And as it was being read in our hearing by our dear brother, it just caused me to think even more of the longing that we should have and how no one will see the Lord without purity. No one will see God without holiness. Friends, God wants us to be holy. Even as He Himself is, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. Blessed, happy are the pure in heart. Notice the visual. For they shall see God. Remember what I said earlier about God's word when it is properly read, properly interpreted. properly understood and then applied, it gives the greatest results for Christian living. Here, when you consider the word shall see or phrase shall see, it is in the future tense. One receives the benefits of a pure mind because of the clean word, because of the proven truths, because of the word of God that can be certain and definite. One will one day see God. We will one day see God. And so in Revelation 22, 4 and 5, we understand that we will be in the presence of God. And for the first time in human history, man will actually get to see the existent one. No one has ever seen God before. Jesus is the only one that has ever seen the Father, the Word of God. He came forth from his bosom. Friends, we get to see God. But right now, we get to have that hope. And that hope is designed to motivate us. It gives us great yield, if you will. We get to receive a reward. And the greatest reward that a man can ever receive is seeing God one day. The one that created him. The one that loved him enough to give his sacrificial son. Look at 1 John 3. I often go to this passage, and truth be told, wherever I go and preach, for some reason these passages come up. Maybe it's because of it's my longing. I don't know. But I do know this, that purity has great rewards attached to it. It gives a great hope. Behold, verse 1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Friends, there's our identity as the people of God. We have identity. In this world of identity struggle, we have identity. What is our identity? We're children of God, yea, Christians. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, notice that term of endearment. Now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, talking about Jesus. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in him, notice, purifies himself just as he is pure. Just as he is clean. Just as he is proven true. Just as he is certain. Isn't that beautiful? Friends, are you clean? Are you clean? Those who are not clean won't see God. Let me tell you what bothers me about that passage is when Bonner's not clean sometimes. You got to get cleaned up. You got to get your mind cleaned up. Because when you clean your mind up, you clean your life up. You clean your life up, you clean up everything. You have an expectation. You have a hope. Praise be to God that we have the opportunity to get cleaned up. When we go to the written word of God, which is governed by the Spirit, moved by the Spirit, Ephesians 5, verse 26, John 15, verse number 3, Jesus said, you're all clean through the word that I've spoken to you. Are you clean? Friends, it gives us something to look forward to. When purity is withdrawn from, listen to this, letter D, evil is considered. Friends, family, brothers and sisters in Christ, did you hear that? When our minds are not pure, remember, wisdom has an end goal, it has an aim, it has a purpose. And when our minds are not pure, evil is considered. I did not say evil is practice. We know that. But if you consider, when you consider God, God is always trying to keep one from going to the consideration. Sometimes we focus on the practice. Well, I didn't do it, but did you consider it? Look at Proverbs 1. was talking to Evelyn about this morning as we were sitting at the table, and the consideration of evil and how Solomon, and he's talking to his son Rehoboam, and he's pleading with him, if you will. Fathers, plead with your children. Mothers, plead with your children. Brethren, plead with one another. Don't even consider evil. Don't even consider impurity. Don't even fall for the notion, the idea, the cliche, the idiom, if you will. Well, we all think. Well, no, we all don't. Proverbs 1 and verse number 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. In other words, if those who are not doing what is right, they seem to want to draw you in, he says, leave them alone. Brother Josh has done a marvelous job thus far in singing, helping us to prepare our minds for these lessons. And when we stop and we think about what he said, that last song that he helped us to sing wasn't just designed for the young. For all of us, when it comes to God, since he is the Ancient of Days, are the young ones. But Brother Josh, you're right. That song is not just for young people. It's for all of us. It's for all of us because every now and then, even the best of us are drawn away, at least in consideration, by the sinner. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 73? He said, do not fret over evildoers. But notice what Solomon continues to tell his son. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us shallow them. Let us swallow them, alive like Sheol or like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil, casting in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. If you have friends and they're asking you to even consider evil, leave them alone, right? That's what he's saying. Have you ever considered evil? Mm-hmm. Have you considered evil to a point where you saw the end result and you said, I better hurry up and leave that alone now? Mm-hmm. Have you ever considered evil and you said, I think I can get away with this, and you tried it but didn't? Mm-hmm. Have you considered evil? Yes. Have you considered the evil of false doctrine? Have you considered that? Have you considered the evil of forsaking the assembling? I'm coming down your street. Have you considered that? Have you considered the evil of adultery and fornication? Have you considered that? Have you considered all manners of evil? Have you considered that? The answer is yes. Considered it. What kept you from it? Hopefully it was the word of God in total submission. Hopefully it was the transformation of mind. Hopefully it was the treasuring up of God's word in your heart. Hopefully it was you wanting to be pure and holy like God. Friends, there's one thing to be tempted. There's another thing to fall to the temptation. And so I was thinking about that. And friends, when we think about when purity is withdrawn from, now you who have paper copies, you don't have this point. I just added it when Brother Josh was singing. You probably have it on your electronic copy. Do you have secret sin is promoted? Do y'all have that for yours? I just added that. Because when we were singing that song, keep me from what? Secret sin. Well, nobody knows. Proverbs 15:3, the eye of the Lord is in every place. He knows. The psalmist in Psalm 19:12, keep me from secret fault. Brethren, that should be our prayer. That should be our aim, our goal, our longing. that we grow to a point where the secret sin becomes less and less and less, to the point, Ephesians 5:26, again, it flushes that out of our hearts. Brethren, that's what we want. When purity is withdrawn from, one's full potential is not reached. Judas and the rich young ruler, you have one who literally walked with Jesus. You have another one that stood face to face with Jesus, and both of them walked away from him. Both of them. And that told me something, that it's possible to walk away from Jesus. It's possible to walk away from God after walking with him. And so go back to Psalm 12 and let's look at verse number 8. Initially, I did not include this passage, but after further consideration, I said that passage needs to go into the lesson. Here's why. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. When purity is withdrawn from, wicked men are exalted. When purity is moved away from slowly, we begin to see the world around us becoming more and more wicked, Brother Royce. And we find that the one that doesn't have the biblical view, the holy view, the pure view, his view is being considered more. Well, who are you to say that I can't change my sexual orientation? Who are you to say that I can't have this person to be my spouse? Who are you to say? Who are you to say that I can't have sexual relations outside of marriage? Who are you to say? Who are you to tell me that? The church is trying to tell us how to live our lives. No, God has always tried to persuade men to live his way. That has not been just the church's job. That was the job of Enoch. That was the job of Noah. That was the job of Abraham. That was the job of Isaac. That was the job of Moses. We can go on and on and on. The church is just doing what they did in the past. They're promoting righteousness. Amen? That's what we're promoting. And so this is no new concept, which demonstrates to me that the world around us, as they're being promoted more and more and more, church, you hang in there. Church, you remain pure. Church, you look at your own life and you work out your own salvation and you let no one get in the way of that. Number two, God's wisdom properly understood and exercised. What are we looking at? What are we seeking? Letter A, how do I know I understand the wisdom of God? I know when I seek to understand God's purpose in my life. I have the same purpose as you. You have the same purpose as me. And the sinner out there has the same purpose as us. What is that? Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God wants all men to fear him. I was very privileged to spend hours with a bunch of old men last few days. And let me take a time out right here. I'll cut my time right here. It's a beautiful thing. Please hear me. It's a beautiful thing when old people want to invest in you. It's a beautiful thing when they want to invest their life in your life. It's a beautiful thing when they want to deposit them and the things that they did that actually worked in their life. And the things that didn't work, Brother Hedick. It's a beautiful thing when we want to do that. To those who are not our family, here is a stranger, don't even know this man, I'm going to deposit what I know. It's going to help you in the future, and you keep the ball rolling. Shouldn't we do that? You can tell a lot about a man when he won't deposit something in you that won't help you for good. Let's come on back. Keep my time rolling now. Brethren, our responsibility as the people of God is to help those who don't know Jesus Christ for the pardoning of their sin, who are living immoral lives outside of the will of God, have a lack of understanding as it relates to the obedience of the gospel. It's our responsibility to demonstrate to them the purity of life, number one, to talk to them by using words with the gospel message in hopes that they will submit their will to the will of the Father. Friends, I need to seek to understand God's will. I need to seek to move toward what I know is right. Not seemingly, but what I know is right. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. I need to seek the ways of the Lord. And when I find it, I need to walk in it. I don't need to veer to the right. I don't need to veer to the left. I need to stay on the path. And it's like driving a car, young people. Let me give you some practical application, because sometimes young people don't make the connection. And Ryan, next month, our theme is making the connection. It's like driving a car. You got the steering wheel straight, and the car is going straight down the road. But it requires you moving a little bit to the left and to the right, correct? Because of the crown of the road. Friends, this life has a lot of crowns in it. Going to the left, going to the right. And your responsibility, young people, is to keep your life in the middle. As God gives you mercy and grace and compassion and pity, and that gives you the opportunity to move within those boundaries that God has given you. But when you go outside of the boundaries, Brother Ryan, that's sin. When you enter into the realm of foolishness, that's wrong. What does God want? Just keep it on the road. So we should be walking in the light as he himself is in the light. When I sin against God, that doesn't mean that I'm outside of Christ. Praise be to God. When I sin against God, I need to recognize that I've sinned against God, and I need to do what Peter told Simon the sorcerer to do in Acts 8 and verse 22. I need to repent and pray. And what John said in 1 John 1 and verse number 9, I need to confess my sin, and God will do something amazing. He is faithful and just to forgive. Aren't you glad you don't live in the garden? That when you sin in the garden, guess what God did? He kicked them all the way out. That's interesting. Did they ever go back into the garden? Nope. When we sin against God, he doesn't kick us out of the church. As a matter of fact, if you stop and think about it, a person can leave the Lord, but they're still going to be held responsible for obeying the gospel. And God is going to hold them accountable for that very thing. It had been better for you to have not known the way of righteousness than to have turned from it into the weak and beggarly elements of sin. Friends, we have a responsibility to move toward what we know is right. And then we must seek to depart from wrongdoing. Look at number three. I seek to depart from wrongdoing as I learn better. Look at Job 28:28. I used this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to use it right here because it fits. Here we find Job as he is defending himself against his foolish friends. Sometimes you have to do that. And to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, watch it, is understanding. How do I know that I understand the will of God? How do I know that wisdom is actually directing me, motivating me, leading me, guiding me, instructing me? I've taken the information that God has given me. Listen now. And I have understood it. I have applied it, and now it becomes my direction. One old brother said yesterday, I live my religion. Wow. Oh, yeah. Evelyn, I learned some things. Learned some things. Old men, teach the young men. Older sisters, teach these young ladies. Young ladies, don't act like you know everything because you got a little edumacation. So you can make a sandwich, okay? Listen to the older people You know, that's not only biblical, but that's commanded for the older members to teach the younger members. It's commanded. Oh, but younger members, you need to listen. You need to listen. You need to listen. Don't act like you know it all. You don't. You haven't been around some of the blocks that some of the older members have been around. But if we're honest, some of the older members have not been around some of the blocks you've been around. So it behooves us to listen to you too. Amen. But if you open up your mouth, have something to say. And so here we see something very, very interesting. And to the man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. When one respects God and to depart from evil, now the connection is made. So a person can say, no, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. It's apparent you don't know what you're doing because you keep going down the wrong road. So apparently the connection is not being made. And so got to make the connection. God says this is my life. They have to connect. And when they connect, then I know I understand. I know I understand. Point number three. You can study the next point for yourself. God's wisdom provides fellowship and self-evaluation. Friends, can we be one? The answer is absolutely, because we see something in the Godhead that's just magnificent. We see the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And 1 John 5 verse 6 says these three are one. Different roles, hear me. They don't operate in the same roles, yet they're all God. Yet, we understand that God himself, the Father, and the Father is always identified as the Father. And the Word was the one that was next to the Father. He's the power and wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit, he is the mind of God expressed. Now, hear me out. These three have different roles, yet they all work together as axis, as Peter says, they are known as the determinant counsel, and there is a foreknowledge going on there. And so it's possible for different entities to think alike. Is it possible for different people from different backgrounds, different mindsets, different IQs, different motivations, is it possible for them to work together with this book? Is it possible for a man and a woman to make up their mind in holy matrimony, be one? Is it possible for them to work together and be one? Is it possible? Is it possible for even sinners who understand that we are a team? And because we are a team and we want to win this championship, we want to win this game, we want to win this event, we all got to work together, all 11 of us, all 5 of us, all 9 of us, different sports, yet different minds, different roles, different ideas, yet same goal. Is it possible? The answer is yes. But as soon as you bring in envy, as soon as you bring in jealousy, Evelyn, as soon as you bring in one that tries to esteem themselves higher than the other, the team is going to begin to break down. What's the point? That's because of an impure mind. And when men and women work together, homes stay together. When men and women work together, teams can actually work together and a championship can be won. When men and women work together, especially with the Word of God inside of the Church of Christ, because of the oneness of the Word of God, friends, we win. So what does that mean? That when we come together, we ought to come together for the express purpose of glorifying God. We ought to come together for the express purpose of edifying one another. And we ought to come together for the express purpose of demonstrating to the world that we actually love one another. And we want to provide wisdom to one another. And that we want everyone to see the face of God all together. So I said all of that to say this. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I said all of that to say this. As the Godhead work together, brethren, we must work together. Husband and wives must work together. Being on the same team, having the same goals, yet coming from different vantage points, gotta work together. Wisdom promotes purity. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 12 and following. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, which are discouraged, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people. There are some people that just don't pursue peace. They just keep chaos going. Brethren, wisdom does not do that from God. The wisdom from God pursues peace and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Friends, that's the goal. The goal for us is to see the Lord. And that's only going to take place if I am operating in truth, in wisdom, and in purity. So, question. Are you clean? Are you clean? I hope you are. But if you're not, get that right between you and God. Get clean. And if you are clean and you know of a brother or a sister who is not, help them get clean. And brother or sister, if you're not clean, find you a brother or a sister where you can rely upon and confess fault. Don't operate in secret sin. The purpose of God's wisdom is for us to see Him. Let's go see Him. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to obey the gospel by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to repent of sin, confessing Christ to be Lord, being buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You'll be clean. And He'll set you on the path to glory through the sanctification process. As you get things out of your life in this slow process called Christianity. And one thing I love about God, He's so patient. He's so long-suffering. He's so merciful. But when you don't want to do what He says, He can be pretty wrathful. That's called the goodness and the severity of Jehovah. But maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. We can do that. As a matter of fact, we need to. We need to be praying for one another fervently. But we need to make sure that our hearts are pure. Because God does not hear when our hearts are not pure and we're not trying to depart from evil. As we stand, Brother Josh, and as we sing the Savior's invitation.